future.
And with that, let's begin the podcast.
What's going on, my brothers and sisters, aunties and uncles, monks, Kabbalists, wizards, mystics, sons and daughters of God.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Welcome
to Mr. Woo Woo.
Welcome, everybody, to the Mr. Woo Woo podcast. I'm your host, Joshua. I have with me an amazing guest, multifaceted interests that, we're going to try to cover all of them. Maybe not all in this one show, but she is a yoga instructor and teacher. She has been in education of children for 23 years now.
Yeah.
Caretaking. Awesome. Check. She is a Reiki 2 practitioner, which means she can send Reiki at any distance and has been in that game for a while watching children, lucky ones. And we're going to get into all those topics. I'd like to welcome to the show Miss Essie Corrales.
Hello.
Yay.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yes, it was. We were hurdling objects and all kinds of things to get you here. You beat the flu.
I think it beat me first.
It does a tendency to do that. And I just saw you out there with like three little ones, it seemed like, several days later. And I was like, man, she is muscling through this right now, like a gangster.
Oh, yeah.
So that's that mom superpower, right?
Yep.
You can just call in the reserves.
Yep.
That's so dope, man. That is great. Okay. This is interesting. Are you out in the dating scene right now?
Yes.
Okay. I remember like talking to these young men like a year ago, and they had like, it was on the beach, and they were from like USC, and they were, without putting it any other way, harassing these girls that were also in college. And you could just see the light and the interest dimming in their eyes as these dudes were like continually shoving their toes and their toenails in their mouth repetitiously. And you just, and they're shrinking away. And guys just don't know, yo, dude, you can just shut the fuck up. And there was like, it was like this trend. I don't know if you've seen it with younger people, like where they try to wrong foot the other person, like to make them feel like, oh, you're not a 10, you a 5. And they go, oh, whatever. And they'd be like, anyway, I can still put you in my DMs. And that's how they try to make a connection,
yeah.
Is by wrong footing the other girl. And I was just went up there and started scolding these boys.
Good.
Because I was just like, what the fuck is wrong with you dudes, man? Like, I was like looking at these girls. I was just like, is this turning on? I mean, they got muscles and they're, you know, they're dapper looking, but is this turning any of you on, or is this Sahara Desert right now? They're just like, oh, this is terrible, dude. I say, hey, try this one. Hi. That's it. Hi. You make eye contact. You smile. You say hi. If they also make eye contact, hold it and smile back. Well, then you have an opening to get further information, don't you? When did it turn into this like, and I'm not a social media guy, so I don't know what the pool looks like. I've been out of the game a long time, but just to watch these young people drowning. Are you experiencing this kind of stuff in the dating scene?
I think I've seen it all. The dating scene is weird.
Is it?
It is. It's very
feels
strange.
Weird.
I'm trying to do the online dating.
Okay. I know people got hella successful doing that, though.
That's why I keep trying.
It seems, I'll ask someone, like, which one my brother did. Because my brother's like, this is the only time I did. And found, like, the girl. Like, and it was her first one.
Wow.
Like, she's like, I'm going to try. And they hooked up and like, oh, we're out. You know, and they closed their accounts.
Wow.
You know? So I was just like, yeah, it is. But, like, do you find that people aren't representing themselves, honestly? Or that, you know, I hear rumors of that.
Yes, it's called catfishing, and I've been catfished a few times.
No, I didn't mean that drastically.
Oh, okay.
I meant just like, he had one chin in his photo. What the fuck is, what is this? Old boy is wearing a jersey to this date, and he was in a tie in his profile.
Yes.
So I was like, are you getting that kind of cartoonish level of disconnect from?
I have. There was one date I went on, and in the guy's profile picture, he had a full head of hair, and he was drinking an Aperol Spritz, which is my favorite drink.
Okay.
And when we met for the date, he said, I said, I'll be the one in the brown boots, black pants, yellow shirt. He said, great, I'll be the one that looks like me. So when I get there, right. I'm looking for the guy that I saw in the profile picture, and this short, bald man walks up to me and says, hi.
I'm Bill.
I'm your date. And he looked exactly like my ex-husband.
Oh, my Christ.
And but he was a very nice man, and we had a nice dinner and a nice conversation. And
that's a 9 red flags, though.
As I sat there.
That's a sunk your battleship moment.
As I sat there, I thought to myself, if I took a selfie with him and posted it on Facebook, everybody would think I got back together with my ex.
Holy shit snacks. And that's terrible.
He offered to give me a ride home. I felt safe with him. We walked okay. to his car. He drove the same car as my ex-husband.
Oh, so my God.
Too close to home.
Dude, we're going to do an energy session, and I'm going to shift some kind of pattern, because that's like way too ghost in the machine, glitch in the matrix, like that it reappeared the same way, even the same car.
Yeah.
That's what we call patterns, folks. If you're trying to get past any kind of energy patterns, I'm going to shamelessly plug right now. Come to my office, loveenergetics.com. I'll be happy to help you get through any kind of electromagnetic, you know, are you magnetizing your ex? Come to Matrix Energy. We will fix that shit, because life is too short to have to put up with that.
Yes.
So at least it was a good meal, you know.
It was delicious.
I hope. And he got a little practice. A little practice dating. Sometimes, hey, life is typecast, folks. Sometimes you don't get the role. Because you're not that mold, dude. But you're good practice. So keep hunting, everybody, if you're out there. You know? And you too. Keep at it. It will happen.
Thank you.
It will. It's all vibration. So let me see here. Yeah, I'd written down for some reason. I said that we were going to, like, you know, work together. I think I'd seen some video where some kid's like, the American dream is dead, man. You know, like he's whining into his TikTok thing while holding a $10 Starbucks drink. They made me work like 8 hours, man, you know. And you're from a little bit near, but you're way younger than me, but still in my generation. And that just drove me nuts that this kid, it's dead, bro, you know. Do you think they're referring to like making money for doing absolutely nothing?
Could
like
be.
In front of, you know. I don't want to actually do any labor, but I want to be excessively wealthy. You know, that's a perfect value and wealth equation.
It does sound like the time and space we're in these days.
God dang, man. We can't do that. So I adamantly wrote, fuck no. American dream isn't material. It's spiritual.
Ooh, I like that.
It's not material. It's spiritual. The banks invented the material dream of like, forever having to do business with them, and then the thing is sold. It always comes back to them, so they call it the bank, as they're directing all the river of money, right? But the spiritual thing that our forefathers and mothers, who were Freemasons, thought—I mean, they were Freemasons before they went Luciferian and crazy and satanic—you know, you got to put a little asterisk there. But our forefathers, wooden teeth and all, even though it wasn't wood, thought that. You know, the spiritual heritage of our country is being able to worship any way you want, pursue your path to enlightenment any way you want. And that was a dream, to be able to say whatever you want, you know, be able to tell your president to go fuck himself, you know, yeah, and fuck you, Joe Biden. I'll never pass an opportunity. I'm not speaking for Essie. She has her own politics, but fuck you, Joe Biden. That's for Ashley Biden, page 66 and 67, you creepy fuck. Anyway, so... a pedo. It's weird and creepy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he got kind of like, she verified that was her diary.
Ew.
And that means at 14 he was jumping in the shower with her.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So when he's like sniffing like women's heads and kind of like cupping them inappropriately during photo time. Yeah, that's where that's coming from. Anyway, it's going to be a fantastic October. Can't wait to see the political ads. It's going to be so fun. But okay, your spiritual heritage is enlightenment. It's being able to worship Jesus however you want, or Buddha however you want. You can worship Muhammad how you want. I would encourage Sufism. It's a very esoteric version of being Muslim. Yeah, and if you're Jewish, please study Kabbalah. It's good for you. It's good for your teeth. Oh, poor Washington. Anyway... So yeah, the American dream is not dead. Pursue it endlessly. Your life is awesome. Life is short. If you're not in a hospital, you're kicking fucking ass. Okay, quit whining. So how did you find out that spirituality was a thing? Can you remember back to your very first spiritual experience, or was it like you were kind of just always knew spirit was?
Yeah, I can remember. So my mother is very spiritual, and when
Oh, you're lucky. One of your parents was spiritual?
Yeah. So my father's an atheist and my mother is very spiritual. And
awesome.
She has Native American roots. And so she,
so cool.
She would do things when I was young that I didn't really understand. And I kind of thought were cuckoo bananas, but now I completely understand and I do them myself. Mm-hmm. For example, smudging the house with sage.
Awesome.
Or Palo Santo.
Okay. And you smell that in the air? It's like I burned a little bit of it before you came here.
She works with crystals and and herbs and plants and also meditates. So once a day she would meditate for an hour and she wouldn't let us in her room and she wouldn't talk to us and I hated it.
I love this parenting.
I didn't understand why she meditated and why I couldn't come into the room.
Marvelous.
But I wanted to play with the crystals.
Of course. I want to touch them.
And smell all the essential herbs or essential oils and herbs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my first experience with it.
That's so cool. That's awesome.
Also made me a dream catcher out of a grapevine and some rainbow yarn and added shells and crystals to it.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That's amazing.
God. She made it a seven-pointed star, which I believe the story is a...
Yeah, your mom knew stuff. That's cool. She's not just like, you know, a parlor person. She just knows. She knows stuff.
So she still amazes me to this day. She was over at my house and I brought over my bowl of crystals. And I was like, here, mom, look at my crystals. And she's going through them. She's like, this one's a rock. This one is this. This one is this.
Oh, mom.
And then she said, do you want me to clear them? And I said, sure. So I love quartz. I like all different kinds of quartz, but I have some that have clouds or phantoms or different formations inside.
Mm.
And I watched my mom hold one crystal in each hand. And we just sat at the dining room table and had a conversation. Maybe 5 minutes went by. She opened her hands and put the crystals on the tables and there was no more clouds or phantoms. They were clear. You could see through them. There was...
That's real magic, folks.
I said,
that's how to really do it.
What did you do? What did you say? What did you think? She said, nothing. I just held on to them. This just happens.
Okay, so she just has amazing like Wi-Fi router connection inside her heart.
I think she's a power generator.
Apparently. Apparently. Wow. Okay. That's cool.
And I was always very skeptical of her when I was young. If I was really sick a few times in my life, she's done this for me. She would ask me if she wanted her to send me a healing. And I said yes, not believing that it would happen or it would help. And it helped every single time.
that's the power of that. And we'll get into this a little bit later, but like you have your own like energy healing style. But when she's doing that, she's using her own electromagnetic energy a lot of times.
Yes.
If not, then she just has some angelic homies that are next level, like next level to be able to get you to do that. And I've been coming across a lot of stories like that. Like this is, people talk shamanism and they, you know, say at the side of their face, like they know what they're doing, like, or talking about. And it's like people saying that they know martial arts and they haven't stepped into an octagon with Sean Strickland and been having their face ripped off by like a real martial artist, you know, like, and they're like, hi-ya! You know, and that's the real thing.
Yeah.
That's the real thing.
So the biggest...
That's the real stuff, guys.
The biggest thing she helped me with was when I was pregnant, I had placenta previa, which means the baby. The placenta is before the baby, and it was considered a high-risk pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in tears, and I told my mom about it, and she told me she was going to get together with a group on a full moon, a bunch of healers, and they were going to move it. And again, I didn't believe it. I was very skeptical. But
awesome.
When I went in for my next ultrasound, the doctor looked at me and said, she's never seen this happen. She's been doing this for 30 years, but the placenta had moved and I was no longer high risk.
If I was still a cigarette smoker, I would light one up after that story. My God. And thank God I'm a non-smoker. If you are a smoker, get Alan Carr's goddamn book, please. But that was very satisfying, what you just said. It's just like my mental body just went... that's delicious. That's what it's really supposed to be about, folks. And does she study with anybody or is this just all natural to her?
This is all natural to her.
Okay. So you were super fortunate. You had a parent, and this is the power, people. The power of having a parent that is connected to the source of creation and spirit. I was not that fortunate. One for two isn't bad. I'm happy for you that you, my dad was a Darwinist and stuff, but, we were like cafeteria Catholics, neither spiritual, very intellectual. And that took me many years to get through. Mm-hmm. So that the power of having a parent, and you know what happens, folks, if you don't have two parents that perhaps they're both engineers, maybe they're both atheists, right? But if you, because you're a listener of this program, because you know better, my wizards, my new agey new agers, that if you yourself could leave your child in the care of somebody who was a Reiki practitioner, who had taught yoga for many years, and was a mother herself, and has been in the care of infants and small kids for years, and the education of them. Essie is incredibly qualified to do all of these things. So I'm putting out a little APV to everyone who listens. Maybe you don't. Maybe your sister or cousin does, and you're in the San Diego area. You couldn't ask for a better educator than the person in front of me. The integrity, the focus. I see around Pacific Beach with these kids, and they're just like sparkling in their eyes. There's, you know, you see people's kids, and you're like, would you wipe the goddamn nose, please? Would you... Please, they got SpaghettiOs all on their maw. You know, that kid is thinking this is normal. Or the kid just got a dull look and they're looking around. All these little crystalline children with their little Sufi eyeballs are staring at me and scanning me like I'm a piece of weirdo. And just on the street. Dude, these kids are keyed in. And one of the reasons that the children she watches are tuned in and keyed in is because she's a Reiki practitioner. She's a yoga expert. Hello. So if you are looking for someone that has that level of experience, drive and devotion and expertise, you let Mr. Woo Woo know. But do you have contact information where people could get in contact with you, maybe on Instagram, social media, something like that, email? And she's open for a couple of lucky positions. So you better get in there fast, you guys. This is like Apple iStore new versions coming out quick. There's not many spots open, but... You know, she has a couple kids that are gloriously moving on to higher education, ergo kindergarten. So she has spots open for parents that are like, oh, God, I need to find someone that isn't going to fuck my child up. Please, God, you know, like someone dependable, someone that knows what they're doing. And on top of it, someone that could actually work on the inner trauma of possibly like a pre-birth problem or a birthing issue. So that's Essie all over. So how can they contact you in case they're desperately in need of your services?
Instagram, Yogini Essie, YoginiEsse.
Got it.
I forgot to mention, I also have a background in nursing.
Oh my God. Yeah, you got a kind of a nursing aura. You're educated as a nurse as well?
Yes, in medical assisting, and I specialized in orthopedic surgery.
Yo, kids are locked down. This is, if I had three kids, that would already have shoved them into your living room and be like, please, you know, please. And went home and cried.
CPR certified.
CPR certified.
And I have used this skill to help save the life of a toddler while flying on a plane by myself with my toddler.
See that? She's Mrs. Doubtfire on top of it, but she's actually a woman. Yep. Was that controversial to say? Anyway, it might be. But like, you know, it will be a run by fruiting. She'll go, and the little sausage, you know, like in Field of Dreams, that's your kid being saved. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, they wouldn't eat a sausage in the first place. She wouldn't let that happen.
Safety is my top priority.
Uh-huh.
And education. Marvelous. And fun.
She's an educator, you guys. It isn't about like watching your kid. That's blasé. We're talking about an evolutionary program.
Yes, I interact with them all day.
Yes.
We do sensory play. We go for walks. We go for nature hikes. We dissect owl pellets.
I know exactly what you're talking about on Kendall.
Yes.
That's my owl, dude. I used to live right in that studio in front of that. And that thing was the reason I quit smoking and ended up with my wife.
Wow.
On the night it was going to be like where I was just like, give me a sign. Am I supposed to? And I had channeled Jesus, basically. And me and him weren't like tight at that time. He's like, yeah, your other half, she's not a cigarette smoker, man, so you got to put that shit out. And I was just like, oh, really? He's, oh, okay. And it's like who you said in the, you know, when I did my pendulum, he said, oh, yeah. Uh-huh. It's like, sure, dude, I'm pretty solidly in the friend zone in that respect. I don't think this is going to happen. So I call your bluff. So I put out the cigarette and that owl flew over my head, you know, so I was taking it as like a thing from Athena. Hey, what's going on? And I was like, oh shit, mother, what's going on, dude? And I started to get sick from the tobacco, and then owl flew back over my head. Same thing, like buzzed me. And it was there, like that owl pellet. And then I was just like, okay, I call your bluff, Jesus. And I stomped it out. And I was on a date with my future wife 1 week later.
Awesome. Congratulations. Ooh,
that's what happens when you follow. Thank you. That's what happens when you follow the will of the divine when you get an inspiration. By the way, do it also, please.
You know what? Your story kind of reminded me of the old commercial for the Tootsie Pop, Mr. Owl. How many licks does it take to get to
the center? I annoy my wife with that metaphor all the time. Two, three, three.
Wow.
I was just like, all the time. I saw that commercial so many times. That was our Red Bull commercial, you guys. I know you see Red Bull. It gives you wings. And it doesn't, by the way. It gives you, you know, ulcers. So she went with heart attack. Survey says both heart attacks and ulcers. Anyway, it doesn't. Don't sue us. Yeah. Anyway, it was, you know, like it's a cartoon. Anyway. It was a stupid. We had awesome, stupid 70s and 80s cartoons. You
especially
know.
Saturday morning Conjunction cartoons.
Conjunction Junction, what's your function?
Soul Train.
Soul Train. Oh, it was such a better decade than the one we're living right now. Oh, my goodness. I often tell people, I was like, if the internet goes down, you won't see a fucking tear out of my eyeball. I was raised when there was pagers and payphones, and here's the map to get here. And like... And shit was amazing, you guys. We were outside. We made eye contact with each other.
Didn't have to lock the
door. You talk shit. It had to be in person, so you get blasted in the face. And so people didn't talk shit, except they do online now. Yeah. It was good times.
Yep.
It was good times. If it went back to that, I would not miss.
I'd be okay.
Online banking. Yeah. I could give it up.
Yeah.
No problem.
Can you imagine if there was no internet during COVID?
Yeah, it would have been more barbecues. It would have been. It would have looked like a Snoop Dogg video from the 90s. It would have been amazing. Gin and juice, sun on our chest. Yeah, the whole thing about like not being able to go outside and go on a beach was to me the most insane like aspect of the entire fucking thing.
Or just getting a fine for walking on the boardwalk.
Yeah, I didn't participate at all with any of that shit. No pokes, no walkies, nothing. Nada.
I had to get the pokey for my job.
Had to. And you know, you're one of hundreds of people I know that had to say that. And you're going to get to own the companies one day that did that to you because they're going to be liable for being sued. Oops. Oops. That's Nuremberg shit, guys. So I hope you get stock in whatever you work for.
Thanks.
Yeah, of course. So we're talking a child educator that can. And what's the age group range that you really like is your sweet spot?
4 months.
4 months old.
4 months to 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. The children that I have now started with me at 4 months, and now the oldest one is 19 months.
Yes. Okay.
And so I teach them how to walk and talk and play nice and be gentle and share their toys.
Basically like Mary Poppins without the sternness, you guys. Yeah. You know, she doesn't have a cravat. Doesn't carry an umbrella. But she will take your children on childhood chalk journeys and strange, bestriped, ice cream looking men.
And lots of bubbles and chalk.
Bubbles. There's going to be lots of singing, good times. Like I've run into her a couple of times on the street and these kids look bedazzled and thrilled. Like they're almost like on an adventure. They don't know they're, you know, in PB.
Yeah.
But they look like, oh my God, a squirrel could happen any minute, you guys. I'm holding my breath. So please get in contact with her if that sounds awesome. She will save your bacon. And it will be great. I also wanted to ask you about your yoga background.
Yes.
Like you went from obviously being raised in a awesome household with a curandera who knew her shit and was probably influencing your life the entire time, nudging you toward the light. But when did yoga like you being instructed in that? You said you got nursing training. When did it like transition into yoga instruction?
Yeah, so when I was young, my parents were really into bodybuilding. They were in shape and they took care of themselves and they stretched. Badass. And I started doing yoga after high school and I would do VCR videos.
Okay.
dating myself a little bit here.
Yeah, it's all right. Rub it in there. And get the lotion in.
I specialize in hot power fusion yoga.
Hot power fusion.
And I had never done hot yoga before until 2017.
Okay.
I thought it sounded horrible.
Okay. A lot of sweat, a lot of vodka.
I didn't know that much about it. I had heard some horror stories, which turned me off. I was reconnected with a girlfriend I hadn't seen in about 5 years. And she told me about a 30-day hot yoga challenge. And it's 30 hot yoga classes in 30 days.
Hmm.
At this time, there was a lot of different challenges going on. Vegan challenge, for example, was one of them. And
how many vegans you can eat in 30 days? I hear they're delicious. Haiti, shout out to Haiti right now.
I thought about all these challenges and I thought,
that was controversial, sorry.
Hot yoga sounds like the best out of all of these. So I went to my first class with a friend who invited me, and I didn't realize she was inviting me to a hot class. So she said, do you want to go to yoga tomorrow at this time? I said, yeah. So an hour before the class, I text her, is it hot? ? Her response was, yes, you can do it. And I thought, oh, I got to do it. I can't cancel on her. I haven't seen her in 5 years.
It's not Scientology. It's a yoga class.
So
fuck it.
I went into this class thinking, I'm never going to go again. I'm just doing this because I can't cancel on my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell in love with it. I transformed my mind, body, and spirit. I used the free 1 week pass from Core Power. Mm-hmm. After that first class, I was too sore for the next week to use any of the other free days.
Right.
But the results that I got physically, mentally, and emotionally was like nothing I'd ever experienced before. I felt like I had just stepped out of a therapy session.
Okay.
And as I'm listening to the instructor tell us how to guide our body, how to do the proper alignment, they weaved in this theme about patience. And mm-hmm. how you can use patience on and off of your mat. And I love that. I consider myself a very patient person, but there's times where I don't feel patient. And so I was able to take that from the yoga studio to my home. Not only that, but the amount of sweat. I had never sweat that much before unless I was doing, for example, a boot camp. My first class, I was 50 pounds overweight because I had had my son 2 years before that.
Okay.
And I took my time to drop the baby weight. I wasn't in a hurry. It wasn't high priority on my list. So on his second birthday, I dropped him off at preschool. His first day of preschool, I said, okay, baby, bye-bye. Mama's going to go to yoga. And after that first class, I went to another one a week later. And then I was able to go to two classes the following week. So mm-hmm. I could feel my body strengthening, slimming down.
Mm-hmm.
I was seeing change right away. I had been doing some boot camp classes, and I didn't enjoy it. I don't love running. I could feel my face jiggling. My knees hurt. My joints hurt.
Okay.
What I loved about hot yoga is I get the same results as a boot camp, but I'm stationary on my mat in that one area.
Mm.
So I don't need to be that hard on my body to get the same results.
Okay.
So I took a teacher training 2 months later, made new friends, kept going to practices. I was about 1 week short of completing that training.
Oh, okay.
So 2 years later, I redid that same course
mm-hmm.
and I got certified. And
cool.
For 5 years, I went every day.
Five years every day.
Holy
shit, the transformation that must have created in the body is amazing.
Yes. And as I was going through my yoga transformation, I was also in an unhappy marriage and trying to figure it all out. And so I went on a spiritual journey. So within yoga, I fell in love with the philosophy of yoga and Hinduism.
Okay.
So I went down this awesome rabbit hole of Hinduism and learned a lot about that. And
Did you read Autobiography of a Yogi?
I may have listened to it on audiobooks.
If it was his voice, it would have been sonic. So awesome. I was in Calcutta. You know, I guess this is awesome. If you ever heard Yogananda talk, it's so badass.
Yes. Yes, I have. where is it? Okay. So from there, I was researching healing chanting music in Sanskrit.
Huh.
I found Tina Turner. chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo.
Tina Turner.
I love Tina Turner. Her voice is amazing. And to hear her chant, she's got a very deep, powerful voice.
She has like a low alto voice.
She has two-hour meditations. One is just Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, and the other one is a little bit different version of it, with some more angelic sounds and other singers with it. So I read the words I read the meanings to the words that she was saying, and it was the most powerful healing chanting music I could find. And I didn't know that Sanskrit was also, there was Chinese Sanskrit and Hindu Sanskrit. I believe there's different forms of Sanskrit.
Interesting. I just thought there was just a Sanskrit.
I could be wrong.
Because I know all those cultures read Sanskrit. So I thought Sanskrit was like from a previous...
I thought it was culture. From India.
I'll have to go back. Yeah, that's definitely the region. But the civilization that used Sanskrit as its common language was like Sumeria or something like that. It was like a long, 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 long time ago.
So this Buddhism that she chants, or this chanting that she does is Japanese Buddhism.
Okay.
And when I did more research about that, the creator is the same creator that made Reiki.
Interesting.
So there was this Buddhism Reiki connection that I got to through Hinduism.
Yeah, it's all connected, you guys. Eventually, where you realize you're all just one ashram. That's cool.
And there's bits and pieces of each of these that I love so much, and they all complement each other. And it's been an interesting journey from one thing to another. I found you on my spiritual healing journey. And
how did you find me? I forgot. Like, you just appeared out of nowhere. You're like, I'd like to take a Reiki class. And I was like,
I think I started with a massage.
Did you get a massage from me way back in the day?
I remember doing a couple massages, a matrix energetic session or two.
Okay.
I was injured.
You were injured. Was it your neck or something like that?
Yeah, I had a spine injury.
Oh, shit.
I beat surgery.
Yes.
I healed it on my own.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Like, you had, like, disky stuff.
Yeah. Four herniated discs into the spinal cord, pressing on the nerve root of my right shoulder and paralyzed my arm.
Sorry.
It's okay,
yes,
but...
Yes, things are going quite well.
Yes, quite well. Oh, my God. Yeah, sorry. Just, like, the visual of that...
Well, what was interesting was the surgery group that they
bone
sent
sandwich,
me to
fuck.
Was the group that I had worked with 10 years ago. And they explained they wanted to go in through the front of the neck and pull two discs out and put spacers in and some hardware. And I had just turned 40, and I thought to myself, going through security at the airport.
You were like, I don't want to. Yeah, I'm done with that.
And I'm too young for this. And I've seen some of these surgeries have complications. And there's no guarantee that every surgery will work the way they want. And
no, there's no guarantee.
So I didn't want to take the risk. And it took me about a year to heal it on my own.
A year to heal it on your own. But you healed it on your own.
I did. I did a lot of metaphysical healing and physical therapy. I started YouTubing physical therapy videos.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my insurance kicked in and I started going to the physical therapist, they were having me do the same things that I found on the
videos.
On
your own. Yep, 100%.
Yeah.
Because physical therapists want to make YouTube money too.
Yes.
And they give the real techniques.
Yes.
What yoga poses did you find were beneficial to a low back disc situation or injury?
So mine was a cervical spine.
Oh, cervical. I thought it was low spine.
No, it's okay.
What would you do for the upper, for the neck?
So I was having, the discs were compressed. So any decompressing movements, poses, forward folding, downward dog. I think one of the things that contributed to my injury was I had been working on headstands for about a year.
Right.
It took me a year to master them. But once I did, I could do amazing things while upside down. But all of that time compressing the spine maybe wasn't so great. I didn't know that I had some arthritis and osteoarthritis from a lifetime of accidents, car accidents, snowmobile accident. I fell down the stairs in the walker when I was an infant.
Yeah, we should work on those patterns one day. Yeah, got it.
So I don't do headstands anymore. I do handstands. So anything that will decompress the spine instead of compressing it.
Got it. Upside, like inversions,
yeah,
are the best for a disc-y kind of issue.
Yeah.
Because you're allowing gravity basically to pull like the meninges and the disc and allow just kind of like a slinky pull it down.
Yes. Whew. Instead of massively compressing it with all my weight.
Instead of that, yeah. Excruciating experience. Yes. Yes. Marvelous. No, that's good because I work on so many people with disc injuries.
Yeah.
And I even worked in a place a couple years ago where like I did a massage and it was like all these people were work comp people and they had like a slip disc and they expected massage.
Yeah.
To do something
well,
about
they may
that.
They have gotten a referral from their doctor.
They did. No, yep. They were like, here's six sessions. Yep. And I was just like, I don't think these motherfuckers understand that like myofascial work is not going to do shit because the problem is the disc.
Yeah.
And I can't do anything with massage. So I try to like con them into like a craniosacral session because sometimes you could just hold the spine and it'll like
you do
suck.
Craniosacral?
I specialize in it particularly, I have for years, for like 18 years.
There's been two babies that I've cared for that have needed helmets
that
did not get the helmets because they did cranial sacral.
Right.
Yeah.
The youngest client I ever had was 6 weeks old.
Wow.
And they were born with an umbilical cord wrapped around their neck.
Yep.
And because of that, their neck muscles were in such a way that their head only flopped to the side. There was no
like
head strength.
Torticollis?
It's kind of like that.
Okay.
And as well as the kid had like horrific colic because, you know, it's always like gas in the body.
Yeah.
And after like 30 minutes, she blew the room apart, like, and let all that, everything inside, outside.
Yeah.
And
I hear that happens.
aside, and she, you know, like looked at me funny, you know, because we get those sharp pains is what makes them cry. You know, it's like that sharp gas that's in the belly. And she like looked funny and then she like smiled and it was just like everyone now, you know, like she just ripped the room apart. It was great.
Yeah.
And then her head, without any reason, her neck muscles activated and they were strong.
Oh.
Like she could look in every direction. She was like looking at her parents. I mean, whereas before her head had shown no evidence of strength whatsoever. She couldn't hold her head up on top of her body.
Oh.
So babies respond to it very quickly because they don't have a memory body.
Mm-hmm.
And so do animals. They don't have a memory body.
Okay.
So they don't have things that are blocking them out of like, am I worthy to get healed? You know,
yeah.
Like they don't have these little subconscious blocks that prevent people from fixing the thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when I'm doing energy healing on people, that's what I'm actually working on is like that imprint of I'm not good enough, you know, in the aura of the person and that because they don't realize that's what's keeping them from their indigestion finally balancing itself.
I believe that's how I injured my spine.
How?
The thought pattern.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And I'm not good enough was something that was coming up.
I don't feel supported.
Why wasn't I good enough is what I said to myself for about a week before I got injured.
Oh my God. That's what I'm saying. It's one of the most core fundamental psycho-spiritual things we have as human beings is I'm not enough or what's wrong with me. And like, you won't realize like all the surgeries, all the medical treatments and drugs won't address that fundamental aspect. If that's done, now you're open to transformation. Or that's another huge one is like people expect the change, but that they're not going to change somehow.
Yeah.
Like I'm a finished project, you know, like I'm not going to change personality or behavior or words or tone or vibe. And I'm going to get what I want. I'm going to get a different result, even though my vibe is locked in right here and I can't change out of this spectrum. It doesn't happen that way, guys. You know, like if you're going to get different results, many times it's because there's a psychological or vibrational change within you. You will feel like a different person. And I've mentioned this on the show before. You will feel fake to your former self. You'll be like, where people will be like, you're not acting like you.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be your friends, your family, whatever. And that means like the more they're saying that, the more transformation you're going through. So it's actually a positive thing. So just to throw that out there is like, folks think like, I want transformation and I'm going to still get to be the same Betty or Jim. You know, I don't have to become a better person. I don't have to think about something different. I don't have to, you know, learn how to manage my feelings or before like just expressing them and emoting on people. Yeah. You have to do that too, guys. It's like a big ass part of it.
Yeah. I should say one of the the biggest metaphysical healing modalities I used was a book called You Can Heal Your Body by Louise Hay.
I have it in my front office.
Yes.
Yes.
So
that book, folks.
I went straight to the misalignments of the spine and I looked up the vertebrae that were messed up. And the way her book works is she tells you the thought pattern that we've said to make ourselves sick, ill, ailments, diseases, and the affirmation to say to make it go away. But you can't just put a post-it note on the refrigerator and say it when you walk by. So what I did was every day I would write it 3 times. I would read it 3 times. And because I was in pain and I couldn't really do anything, I decided to go through the book from A to Z. Found many things to work on.
Awesome.
Uh-huh.
Me too.
And again, in threes, I would read it 3 times. I would write it 3 times. I would say it out loud 3 times.
Brilliant. 3 times 3, folks.
Retraining my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Another inspirational person that I
Can we just pause for one moment and describe that? Because I've used that book personally to heal myself of, it's either 4 out of 4 melodies or now 5 out of 5 melodies. And what most people don't get, like how you describe like your application of the mantra to reverse engineer the psychological root of the condition is brilliant. That's exactly how you do that. You did it through 3 mediums, writing it down brings the word into the 3-dimensional, verbalizing it through the tongue and the heart. You should do it in all of those mediums. I did it by volume. I did it by thousands. It was my screensaver. So anytime I turned my phone on, I'd see the phrase right there and I'd think it like 5 times at least. And I would do it like repetitions. I would try to intend to say it 1,000 times. To the point where, like, you know, you hear the phrase and you're like, barf, I don't want to think it again. That's when it's changing. Yeah. That's when the transformation's happening. When your ego starts to go, dude, you've done it 800 times. You're good, dude. If I say this one more time, I'm just going to kill myself, dude. And be like, good, kill yourself, homie. You're the voice that kills everything good in my life. Fuck you. Fuck off. Go. You know, like, and then you say the phrase again with even more vehemence and it goes, shit. It's because it's trying to trick you. That's when it's starting to change. And we're talking extremely difficult things to change just using metaphysical techniques. Discs is one of them, kids.
Nerve damage.
So this is a fantastic testament to how to do that. Do it in those 3 mediums. That's new information on the Mr. Woo Woo podcast brought to you by Essie Corrales. Write it down, say it, and read it in your own mind. 3 times 3 or 33 times 33, whatever. You know, you can't overdose on mantras.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the thing with this medicine. So this is proof of the pudding that you can change yourself, your mind, your life, using the word and using a scientific application. So thank you. What else were you saying?
Dr. Joe Dispenza is another influential person in my healing journey. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you know who I'm talking about.
My brother follows him, really, you know.
Okay.
Ed does all his meditations and stuff every day.
Awesome. Yeah, so he's a chiropractor from La Jolla who was injured in a triathlon. And his spine, he was hit by a car in the running portion or biking portion and broke his spine in 6 places.
Mm.
They told him he would never walk again. They wanted to do a surgery where they put a rod down his entire spine.
Mm-hmm.
His story, he said that if it was any of his clients, he would tell them to do the surgery. But because it was himself, he said no.
Of course.
So he spent the next, 12 or 13 weeks face down on a bed, visualizing how to reconstruct his spine vertebrae by vertebrae. It took him a long time, but he was able to do a complete recovery. And I thought to myself, if he can heal his spine with his mind, 6 fractures, and I just have 4 discs and an arm.
Mm-hmm.
If he can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
And I didn't really sleep well because of the constant pain, but I would get up in the morning and put my iPad up on the fireplace mantle so I didn't have to look up or down, and I would just cry and binge watch Joe Dispenza until the pain would go away, and did his techniques. So the combination of Joe Dispenza and Louise Hay were pivot points in my healing journey.
And I'd work on you whenever I ran into you at a distance.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm like, oh yeah, her neck's fucked up. And I would have to do like a little distance work.
Yeah. You know?
Because of course, student, can't leave your neck feeling all Jenga.
It was Jenga.
It was jangy for sure, dude. Like with it, yoga, when you're doing the hot yoga, would you say it's more like, you know, people more like a vinyasa flow, or they got like Iyengar, or they got like, what is the lineage of it?
Do you remember? It's like power yoga and vinyasa had a baby.
Okay.
So it's smooth and flowy.
Okay.
The heat adds an intense element.
Oh,
100%. Because it is hot, there's no chaturangas. It's a slower routine.
Huh.
The pace is comfortable. At any time, if anyone's feeling lightheaded,
yeah,
you know, we recommend lay down on the floor, sit down on the floor. If it's your first class, I would take a ice water with you, put a lot of ice in your water, and set your mat close to the door. So if you need to step out, you're not walking around a bunch of people in their mats. And if anybody else needs to step out, you'll be the first person to get that gust of cold air.
Yep. And hygiene. What kind of hygiene would you recommend that these people have when they're coming into share a space with sweaty yoga?
I feel like we come in there...
Showering beforehand or after?
After. Definitely after.
Right. But you wouldn't recommend showering beforehand?
I sometimes do, actually, if I've been gardening and I have dirty feet.
Because, I mean, having gone to massage school 20 years ago and been around for a long time, the more organic community... you know, the deodorant game is not great. And there, I understand they all think it can cause cancer and stuff, but you can go to Japan and get odorless deodorants. You know,
yes.
Like, I'd recommend, you know, having been a massage therapist also for 20 years, now retired, that, you know, sometimes the people coming in with those Funyun, like sour cream and onion chip feet, you know, and they know, like, maybe you don't come into the ashram with your feet smelling like Pringles.
I gotta say, I've never noticed an odor on anybody else.
Good, thank God.
But I will notice it on myself. If I drink coffee, I will smell that coffee.
Really?
Yes.
Is it like when you're halfway through the asanas, or is it like beforehand?
I would say halfway through when the sweat is just dripping.
Pouring out, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My buddy used to go, like, I'm only doing it to, like, sweat out the farmies and vodka I took care of, like, on Saturday night. So I do, you know, sweaty yoga Sunday.
Tequila and tacos.
Like, it smells like a bar in there. You know, like, if you ever clean bar mats, you know, as a bartender or as a bar back, you know, like, that puddle that happens from pouring shots all night.
Yes.
It's just like, that's what my sweaty yoga place smells like. I was like, oh, shit, crack a window, bro.
Like, so they do crack windows and fan the room. Whew. So I've never had to complain about any odors.
Good.
But one thing I complain about, and not very many people do this, but some...
Okay. Yeah, what are the faux pas that people do?
I've only seen men do this, and I've only seen it happen twice, but these gentlemen sweat a lot.
Okay.
And they leave class while we're all still laying in Shavasana.
What?
You're supposed to clean up your area.
Right.
These guys just roll up their mats and walk out. Meanwhile, the sweat is dumping out onto the floor. It sounds like they're
dripping.
Peeing. Yeah. And they leave this drip trail from their spot to the door. And then there's still a puddle there. So everybody else has to walk around their sweat puddle. And it's kind of...
Folks, could you please tend to your sweat puddle? If you're going to, you know, if there's going to be a sweat puddle... It sounds like that's a variable you should think about before you leave. My God, that's terrifying. just like on so many, like, oh my God. Sweat. So yeah, when you're doing sweaty yoga, folks, please be aware of your sweat puddle so that we don't have to slip slide out of it. And even worse, you don't leave before Shavasana is done. What are you? An ape? A savage? Shavasana is the most important pose, folks. That's where you digest all the information. The type of yoga that I do, you literally do it after every fucking pose.
I love that.
Kriya.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like, you do a shoulder stand, you hold Shavasana for as long as you held shoulder stand.
So there's 19 Shavasanas in Hot Power Fusion.
Okay, so you do it like throughout the phases?
Yeah, there's also standing Shavasana.
Okay, like a mountain pose kind of thing, but like we're just letting the arms dangle.
Arms down, yeah. Standing at attention.
Yeah, Shiva, yeah. Yeah, when the Supta Rishis were around him and stuff, and going like, you know, he was just like, no, go fuck yourself. I'm still in bliss. You know? Like, I think he's doing standing Adiyogi pose. I don't think he's going to talk for another 37 years, though, guys. It doesn't look good. So are you familiar with all the Patanjali's and writings and all that Shiva stuff?
Yes.
Badass. What do you think about Patanjali's work?
It's mind-blowing. It's hard for me to even put into words. It was even hard to read. I felt challenged, but I enjoyed it very much, and I listened to it on audiobook as well.
His sutras? Uh-huh. Or like, who translated them?
I don't remember the gentleman's name.
I have a book by Sri Satchitananda, who's like really, really famous in India, and he broke down like all of his, like what each of the sutras means, and like, by the time I'm done reading them, I feel so dumb and so unaccomplished.
Yes.
When they're talking about like the siddhis, where you're like, and then you can just blow yourself up to any size you want, or you could shrink down molecularly, or you can become invisible, or you can do this. And this is just, it, you know, it's normal for him. It's normal day, you know.
Yeah.
When you're drinking sunlight for your food nourishment, when you're done, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I am a fucking worm, dude, next to this guy. And he's like, I'm doing all this stuff because you won't have enough wherewithal and focus to give the divine your undivided attention and adoration. So here you go, dummies. And I needed the dummy for dummies version, I think, because his shit was just, it's like reading about like quantum physics, you know, but you could tell it's a how-to manual, but like, you're just like, oh my God, dude, I wish our whole society was bent toward doing that for 8 hours to 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
And like, that was what accomplishment and success was.
Yeah.
It's like, holy crap, dude. Oh, who's your favorite guru or yogi?
Katie Be Happy.
Katie Be Happy. I've never heard of this person.
She's a local yoga teacher, but she's been going to the Yoga International Festival in India for the past 14 years.
Okay.
She does international retreats. I've been to Sardinia, Italy with her twice.
What?
Yes.
You went to Italy twice for a yoga retreat?
Yes. But
that's pretty posh.
I would go anywhere in the world with her. She does them everywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's really, really cool.
I know that wasn't the answer you were looking for.
No, I didn't know if I didn't know if you knew it. Like, your favorite one doesn't have to be a famous person.
Yeah.
Or like, okay, like maybe she will be 30 years from now.
Yeah.
Probably. All right. If we're all still here. All right. Let's see here. Yeah. So you're doing yoga, and then was it your neck that was messed up when we started working together? Or I thought we like worked before you. You're like, I got injured. It was before our class. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was before. So I think we did one matrix energetic session before the injury and one after the injury.
Okay. Yes. I think so. And at what point were you just like, could I learn that Reiki stuff? And
so the Reiki came to me.
Yeah.
I started feeling the call for it, or the energy to move towards it, when I found Tina Turner chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo.
Thank you, Tina Turner.
Thank you, Tina.
You did it again. Watch Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome is fantastic.
Yeah. And my mother, being a hands-on healer, Reiki just seemed like right up our alley, right up my alley.
Right. And so we meet up at Balboa Park.
Yes.
We do, I think, a 1 and 2 class.
Yep.
Like right on the spot.
Yep.
Okay. And we didn't go to the zoo. We didn't have time to go to the zoo. I think you had to pick up your...
That's correct. But you did explain how you like to send Reiki to the animals. And so yes, I've been doing that to any place that I go that has an animal in a cage.
Thank you. Animal in a cage,
dude.
Animal
in a cage.
That's why I work on so many humans.
Yeah.
That's us.
And you also mentioned sending it to homeless people. And
yes,
I've been doing that as well.
Thank you. Yeah. Wow. All my Reiki students are doing so good. You're doing that. I have like nurses that were in like Boston University hospital during COVID, and she was like working the COVID ward, and like, please, we need your Reiki during this emergency surgery. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
So like, yeah, like, oh, dude, of course, nurses are like, naturally always trying to like lend their energy to people and make them feel better.
Yeah.
So Reiki is a great modality for doing that.
I've heard they're using Reiki in some hospitals now.
Oh, they've been. Okay. Yeah, there was a Reiki program at like Sharp. I've never done it because they require you to get a bunch of immunizations and shots.
Yeah.
And Daddy doesn't do that. keeping these veins 100%. But I do send lots of energy to hospitals, you know, but they post-op, you know, like surgery and stuff, they have people like come in and like hold their feet and do Reiki sessions with them and they recover at a strong, really admirable rates. They're doing healing touch and mostly Reiki now, there. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Like what have you experienced since being attuned to it? Like what's your thoughts on the whole system in general?
I love it. I want to do more of it.
Okay.
A lot more of it.
There's one more level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like mind blowing, kind of hard to explain.
Oh yeah, totally. But like, do you find like on a day to day basis, like I can probably send some Reiki like over. Is it like something that's in your consciousness? Is like an app to use?
Yes, absolutely.
When you're in the world, or like the kids are crying.
I like to Reiki myself before I start the day.
Oh. Absolutely should do that.
And my home and the playroom.
Yeah. You see what you're getting here, folks? This is what I'm talking about. This is the future, folks. I wouldn't, if I had kids, there's no fucking way I would leave them in the hands of some muggle that is going to like be watching TikTok videos while they're just like watching freaking Disney DVDs all day. I was raised on DVDs of Disney. They're wonderful. Okay. But they're not Reiki. And they're not like getting like somatic yoga and geometrical instruction of like how to use your body in space. That's pretty dope. And that's important in like the very first phase of a human's education. So
yeah. And sensory play,
no screens. Come on, you guys.
Lots of gardening.
Do you also want your kids to go to Harvard? Call Essie Corrales at 858. No, you already got the number in there. You're going to have to rewind the whole podcast to go find her number. We're not giving it again. You have to go find it. It's like an Easter egg. It'd be fun. Let me see here. What else was I talking about? So Reiki's awesome. Check. Yeah, we covered that. Yoga, awesome also. Check. Let me see. What was that writing down? Becky sitting. What the fuck does that mean? Oh, how was your eclipse? Did you notice anything different after the eclipse?
I didn't, which is interesting. I didn't know that I was born within 6 hours of an eclipse.
No shit.
Yeah. It was a few years ago. I was, you know, learning about energy and curious. And the last eclipse I remember, I stood outside and I did yoga through it, but I didn't look at it. But I wanted to be doing yoga while it was happening.
Okay.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
This year, I actually had three babies taking a nap at that time, so I'm pretty impressed that I was able to get that done. I was expecting it to be later in the afternoon, but it happened during nap time, which I think is the best time of the day for it to happen in my situation.
Nap time is always the best time of the day. Ask the Spaniards.
Yeah.
They always know.
Yeah. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Shut up, Indigo. Of course you know what it means. It means nap time is great. I got an A+ in naps and recess. Especially talented at the arts of leisure, and particularly I could take a power nap on the spot, you guys. You wouldn't believe it. Head of the class.
I took one today.
Did it feel like amazing?
Yes.
See, and I, again, I'm in a really selfish, like, go fuck yourself kind of category when it comes to this, because I don't have to spend my life energy raising another human being and keeping my eye on them, you know? Like, even after those other kids go back to their parents, you're like, I'm still a mom and haven't clocked out yet. Yay. So everything that I'm saying about it is, sounds like a tool, basically talking about it. But, you know, when you're doing it, she's expending probably like five times more energy than I am a day toward her life and energy. So I'm being a flippant dumbass when I'm talking about these kind of things. But she, you know, she's an actual like mom and really, really great at it. So yeah, dude, it's amazing that you're going to be able to combine those two things. I wish you did have like a full educational center where there could be like 12 to 15 young kids and maybe a few people of your apprenticed pickings. Yeah. Does that sound like a project you'd want to do in the future? Or do you got like other projects in the pipeline that are more interesting that you'd want to dedicate your energy more toward?
It is something that I was thinking of pursuing at one point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly
like brick and mortar.
I honestly enjoy having a smaller group where I can give each kid the attention that they need.
Yeah.
When they need it.
Because you know that like that French school that's like around the corner, that little French like, and I know people as kids go there. Uh-huh. And I'm always looking for that kind of small town experience. In the movies in the 80s and 90s, like you would go to a small like Marty McFly goes to the small town in the 80s. And there would be like a doctor who was like 70 to 80 years old. They'd carry like a black bag.
Yes.
And they're like, I remember delivering your mother. You know, that kind of shit. And they'd open your mouth and they'd look in your mouth and be like, you have appendicitis with a side of da 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 and maybe a hep C problem, blah, blah, blah. And they'd be able to know everything.
Yeah.
Just by checking your pulse, looking in your fucking ear and like, And like, I'm looking for that kind of experience medically, educationally. Like, I'm only endorsing this for people as their experience. Because everything else is creating sociopathology, it seems like, in the earlier generation. They think they're reality stars or something. I have no idea what's going on with their psychology, but not awesome. So if you want your babies to not end up being psychopaths or possibly even worse, OnlyFans models, just come on down. And Ezzy will help straighten that out so they don't end up on the pole or in prison. So, it's been we laugh because it's true. So
I might make that my motto.
Keep them off the pole.
In prison.
We will put them keep them off the pole and in prison. Bring them to Essie and give them that soul education. Yeah, did you have any more questions about like the podcasting stuff? Because Essie's also interested in starting her own podcast, which is an amazing. I'm not going to give you ideas so you guys could steal it, but it's an amazing idea. And you know, did you have any other? You know, I've only done 72 of these, so this only is not experience talking. But I've troubleshooted a lot of things, Or is this all pretty much self-explanatory?
Well, I appreciate that you walked me through it before we started. I am excited to possibly do some podcast of me reading children's books.
The reveal. Okay. It's an exclusive then, folks. Yes. Please go on.
It's something that I do with the kids that I work with when I need to step away to work with another child, for example, to put them down for a nap, but the bigger one doesn't need a nap. So instead of putting them in front of a TV, I can put a little episode of Daniel Tiger on the speaker and they can listen to a story. So I'm already listening to other people read books to children occasionally.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, I think I'd like to do this.
Okay. Is there any issues with copyright because it's their material or because it's your voice? Or maybe you like do voices in the books that they have no kind of like.
That's a great claim question. I have no idea
to their material because sometimes. Research. Yeah, it's a great idea. I mean, like, because parents are constantly like, "I don't want to read this fucking book," you know. Like, I hate reading, even if it is, you know, Mouse on a Motorcycle.
Yeah.
But you could tell Essie has one of those country crock voices, right? So like, we're looking for a podcast for him. She might. Stay tuned if she does start, you know, go forward with the podcast, creates it, gets her girlfriends involved, whoever, or maybe it's a solo thing. I will advertise for it here on, of course. You can come back on and we'll talk about, like, how's it going?
Cool. Right? Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming by. I think we covered all the awesome stuff. Like, you know, this poor guy's drowning trying to interact with women romantically in this era. Oh, and here, provocative... topic next time you come on, Lucius Malfoy of Harry Potter is a better parent than most of today's parents. And I was going to take because I was watching, I think it was a Chamber of Secrets or something. Like Harry Potter pops out an abortion in Burke's and he's in an evil wizard shop and Malfoy comes in with his son. And the way he regulates Draco, even though Malfoy is a prick.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like his son by seeing him being a prick is being a prick. At the same time, the way he's laying it down when he's just like, touch nothing, Draco. And he you can see the kid is like, I ain't going to touch shit because my dad will turn me into a wombat if I do. Like that kid is regulated for a bully. And when he's leaving Borgia Number, We're leaving, Draco. And he's just like, fuck, you know, and the kid drops what he's doing immediately. He doesn't go, fuck you, dad, or he doesn't put his hands on a bunch more shit in the thing. He goes, yeah, I better get the fuck out because dad's going to whip my fucking ass. He actually respect, like, even amongst dark wizards, like, Draco had enough respect amongst them to know, you know, you don't just, you know, put your hands on people's shit. Yeah. You don't fuck around. I mean, seeing a lot of parents just letting their kids explore.
Yes.
In public places and just, like, start touching objects. And and in my generation, that gets you a whooping.
Yeah.
Get your ass. Oh, what are you doing? This is a T-shirt. Get, sit here. And, like, you got to, like, look up at your parents. Like, can I touch that thing? And they go, no. You know, that's not happening. Kids are just, like, sneezing on stuff, pulling on objects, you know, and doing whatever the hell they want, generally. And the parents are just like, they apologize behind them.
Yeah.
I'm against being not being just public and not a parent. I am against this philosophy. And some people are like, you know what? You don't have a kid. You don't know how hard it is. You know, I'd be like, that is true. I also don't have a dog, but I know what a shitty dog owner looks like. I know when a dog is attacking people while the person's Instagramming and they're like letting a thing and is pissing on my shoe and shitting somewhere and you don't pick up the shit. That's a bad dog owner. And I don't need a dog. Yeah. To know that that's a shitty way to do it. Notwithstanding, I know it's the hardest fucking thing in the world to do. Being a parent is absolute, just, there's nothing harder. Probably like becoming a Buddha is easier. But there is a right way and a wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
And as a parent, you know, I was like, we don't want to get too much into the drums, obviously, about this topic because there's a lot of parents that are listening to this. But is that your kid? Is your kid running around hitting people in the dick at office, like, picnic parties? And you're like, oh, sorry, he's just so high-spirited. Nah. This is an adult world. What the fuck are you doing? You know. And I help re-educate parents sometimes here when they come to my office. Because the kids, when they bring them here, they know they can't fucking do anything. I'm like McGonagall, dude. I look at them like, you ain't gonna fucking do shit here. And they go, oh, no. Because they know that enabling shit's done in front of me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where was the parent where you just like, you just let the kids fucking do whatever they want? And then, oh, you know, oh, sorry. You know, like, I was like, what the fuck, dude? This is bad dog ownership. This is bad. That's one of the reasons I didn't want to have kids is there's so many bad parents that I was afraid that my kid, whatever the project would, they'd fuck it up by one night over at Timmy's, you know?
Yes.
Well, they let me do that, and the thing, why aren't you making enough money? And brr, 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 you know, they start asking those like heart wrenching questions that like rip your soul out. And just, well, are not like Timmy's parents. Timmy's parents are blah blah blah, and they believe da da da. You know, it's like, why can't I? Like, what do you do when you see like parents that are like that? Well, I'm Italian, so like that shit does not fly.
I guess I don't see a lot of stuff like that, but I'm divorced.
Awesome.
And
oh my gosh.
So I'd see a little bit of that between the divorced parents, a lot of comparing.
Oh, playing one off it.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah. And that's at like a 60% clip right now. So that's most kids right now just trying to, and I understand they're just trying to get their needs met. They got jailers. They're not allowed to pass a certain send a certain electron field. They're not allowed to do shit. So they're constantly trying to figure out how to get their shit from you.
Yeah.
Whether it's making you laugh or cry.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, let me see what this butt does.
beep, beep, beep.
And I've noticed there's, you know, that's mostly white people, you know, because like all the Mexican parents and the black parents and the Asian parents I know will beat the shit out of their kids.
They'll throw their shoe across the room.
They'll beat them with the shoe. And afterwards, I go like, let me explain to you why I had to beat you with that shoe, my friend. You were way out of line. I had to give you a hurting. You couldn't, you know, because I think kids should be treated like how the cops and the IRS are going to treat their ass when they're older. I've always thought this. I did latchkey programs. I would get the kids on meds that are all like, la, 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 and have no boundaries or psychos or like, you know, their parents are on drugs.
Yeah.
And they just needed one person to be like, sit down now. And they just go, oh, holy shit. Like, yep. I'll let you know when you can stop doing that. And they would fall in love with you because they're like, they've finally a boundary.
Yes.
Finally tell me what I can and what I should and shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Rule one, if you're a parent, all you listeners, I know this isn't the parents listening to this right now, but God help us if you have a friend like this or a relative, and I know you do. They're fucking around in public. Feel free to check them. Feel free to correct them right in front of their parent while looking them deep in their eyes. Be like, yeah, your kid's being a little brat right now. Come and deal with this shit. You know, no one's doing that. There's a lot of enablement.
There is a lot.
A lot. But you don't have to deal with this because you got a great kid and you got like the kids you're educating right now are too tiny to not be beautiful little angels.
Yes.
But yeah, dude, that's why I skipped the parenting thing, dude.
It's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody. I could like, I love kids and I could like, I could have raised, I'm just not a multimillionaire. I'd want to do it the fun, easy way.
I have a lot of respect for the people who decide not to have children for their personal reasons.
The main reason being, I could see, at least just for me, with the type of path I was on, that they would be kind of an impediment to my particular goals spiritually. You know, where I didn't want to be father to one, but to all kind of thing. And like without the collar or anything like that, but look upon everyone as like God's child and guide them into happier states. Man, we need better educators like yourself and people that can train humans to be appropriate and know how to speak to one another without embarrassing themselves.
With kind words and good hearts.
Kindness, it's its own magic. And I like the yoga instruction too, because you know, it was said in that one book we were discussing, Unveiling Mysteries, that you know, how do you, they talk about the law of love, you know, and that we're here to master that. And I'm at a loss. I'm like, well, what is that and how do you do it properly?
Yeah.
And the way Saint Germain describes that is it begins with calm peace and an outward kindliness in the feelings toward creation and people. That's it. He's like, that's all you have to do is learn how to become calm, which Bruce Lee himself said was a superpower.
Yes.
Yoga will teach you how to be calm because it regulates your breathing.
Yep.
And kindness, just an outward pouring of sweetness to creation and people. So, yeah, that's it. That's all you got to do, really. And all the rest of the details kind of fill themselves in. I think that's how it is so far. If it changes, I'll let you guys know. But I just want to thank Essie for coming by and chatting with me. Hopefully, first of a couple, you know, come on the show a few more times as a guest. Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so fun.
Awesome. I'm glad you had a good time. Yeah, it was awesome. Everyone that is listening to this, I love you. You're wonderful. You're a child of the light. And, I love you. Peace and aloha.